Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Man, I'll tell you what, I feel totally unprepared for the show here this morning. Although, if I'm honest with you, I never feel totally prepared for the show because there's no way you can ever fully prepare for a show like this. I've had people ask me before, hey, how do you prepare for a show like this? When do you do your show prep? I'm like, you're pretty much always doing your show prep. You're pretty much prepping for the show throughout the entire day. Some days you just got to totally take a break from it, throw your phone in another room and just completely get away from anything news related. But the funny reason I feel totally unprepared for the show today is because I'm still making my cup of coffee downstairs, and I don't have my cup of coffee with me for the very start of the show. It's kind of stupid because it's like, okay, you got 4 hours to go get another cup of coffee. Why do you need the cup of coffee right now? But, hey, you guys know how it goes. It's just like, it's just, you know, you got to have it with you to feel ready to go for the morning. But here we are, though. We are up nonetheless here. So a couple updates to a couple stories that we reported yesterday. First off, we kicked off the show talking about how a Billings public school teacher is under investigation for allegedly celebrating the assassination of Charlie Kirk. We reported that story yesterday, and as I told you, that information came from a source close to the school district. After the show wrapped up yesterday morning, we got a chance to hear from a spokeswoman for School District 2 in Billings. She sent me a message during the show saying that the superintendent was in a meeting and she was going to meet with him to get his take, etc. And so basically what the spokeswoman for School District 2 confirmed is everything we reported yesterday morning is accurate. It is on point. In fact, let me read the specific quote here. Let's see. Yes, we are investigating, and the teacher has been sent home while we investigate. That is all I can confirm right now. So that's the update on that story. Now, another major update on a story that we covered kind of later in the morning. So I think we mentioned in the 6 o'clock hour of the show that, you know, the Montana Democrats had their big convention in Livingston over the weekend. They selected new leadership. The chair of the Democrats now is a woman who lost her statewide election race by 20 points last year. And then the vice chair of the party, I don't know if we started talking about the vice chair of the party until much later in the morning, but basically the vice chair of the Montana Democrat Party, he was in the hot seat. He was getting attacked by his own party members because he said some things critical of former liberal Senator John Tester. And so they got very offended that he said some negative things about dear former leader, former liberal Senator John Tester. And so a lot of his fellow Democrats were criticizing him, attacking him. Later in the morning, if you early risers missed this, something else was uncovered. I shared a post on X that our friend Kyle Schmock had uncovered. Some of the crazy comments from the new chair of vice chair of the Montana Democrats. Anyway, later yesterday, we got the word that that guy has now resigned, has now stepped down from being the vice chair of the Democrats. More to follow right after this.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny to partly cloudy conditions across the area for today, high temperature readings will stay into the upper 70s. For tonight, with clear skies, overnight lows in the upper 40s to around 50. And then for Friday, back into more sunshine, with highs in the upper 70s to around 80 degrees. With clear skies Friday night, a low around 50 is expected. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frobley.
Securing America.
A special House Homeland Security Task Force for the 2026 World Cup and the 2028 LA Olympics held a roundtable discussion Wednesday focused on the challenge of keeping the event safe. GB Jones is a former FBI agent in charge of security for the World Cup. He says a coordinated approach across all jurisdictions is necessary, but if that takes place,
we will reap the dividends of preparedness across all of the international sporting events, which will be hosted in the United States over the next decade.
Fabiette Morgan, who heads security for the LA Olympics, talked about the sheer size of the event's security challenge.
the LA 28 Olympics will be equal to hosting 7 Super Bowls per day for 16 consecutive days.
New York Republican Andrew Garbarino said not meeting the challenge is not an option.
The stakes of this mission could not be higher.
Kid Mirusky, Fox News.
Conrad, Montana. I tell you what, it was so great to catch up with a young man from the University of Montana. He's only a sophomore, and now he is the chapter president for the Turning Point USA chapter there. That's who we talked with on Wednesday's Montana Talks. What are we going to talk about on Thursday? Well, why don't you tell us? Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk and be heard all across Montana. We got that coming up Thursday. Should even have some open phones time Friday as well. And then I'm in Polson on Sunday.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Wait, Caden, you mean to tell me that the breakfast flakes didn't make any coffee this morning? You know, Mark and Paul didn't make a pot of coffee? It's an inside joke here. No, anyway, Caden was joking around. Yeah, he didn't get his coffee yet this morning either. I at least had one cup already. But there's just something about having that cup in my hand when we start this show. You know, our fellow military veterans would appreciate this. I've joked before that, you know, when you host a radio talk show, your cup of coffee is your primary weapon system. And so I've joked before that I, you know, hey, 3-minute break, I'm going to go PMCS, my primary weapon system, which means I'm going to go refill my cup of coffee, clean out the coffee cup, get a fresh cup of coffee going. But Caden, you know, I think if you ever need a cup of coffee and there's no pot ready to go yet and you're in a rush, I think down in the lobby of the hotel, I think they have some coffee ready there. Usually I'll see Musthaven pop in there and grab a cup of the hotel coffee. I can't vouch for how good the hotel coffee is or is not, but I know there's at least some coffee down there. It's definitely not 82 Coffee Company coffee, but it might be good. I don't know. Let's see here. Lots to talk about here on this, what is it, Thursday morning of this show. Yesterday, later in the day, it was like right before the end of the 7 o'clock hour of this show. And I was talking about how, you know, our friend Kyle Schmock, who works for the Montana legislature, but then also has just been, he's got a journalism background, so he's a very good investigative reporter, shall we say. But he found some old comments from back in 2021 from the guy who was elected to be the vice chair of the Montana Democrat Party. And if you caught the show yesterday, this guy, he said this. He says, I'm not trying to say it's time for someone to push this dumb B word down several flights of stairs. But if that's how you choose to interpret this article, then who am I to stop you? So basically, he was insinuating that somebody should shove Marjorie Taylor Greene, he referred to a woman as a dumb B-word, down several flights of stairs. And so anyway, you know it, I know it, we all know it. You know that the Montana Democrats were aware of some of this guy's comments and remarks in his incendiary rhetoric before they elected him to be the vice chair of the Montana Democrat Party. But what made them mad? What made the feminazi party so mad? It wasn't the fact that the guy talked about throwing the dumb B word down several flights of stairs, referring to a woman, referring to a female member of Congress. No. What made them mad is not the fact that he talked about throwing a woman down the stairs. It's the fact that he threw John Tester under the bus. So, all right, so I've got the story written for our Montana Talks website, but then I'm like, you know what, before I publish this article to our website, I'm going to reach out to the Montana Democrat Party, A, get them to say, you know, get their reaction on this social media post by this guy. And even though we knew it was legit, all the boxes have been checked, it's always good to at least verify so they can say, hey, wait a minute, this is real and this isn't real. No response back from them. So anyway, I write the article. I'm waiting for a response from them. And then I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to go to the gym, get my workout in around lunchtime. And then I'll come back and finish the article. And if they haven't commented at that point, at least I can say, hey, we reached out to them and whatever, right? While I'm at the gym, right after my workout gets done and I'm getting ready to stretch, I check my phone and I've got, I check X, and there is a post on X from one of the liberal reporters in Helena with the news that the vice chair of the Montana Democrat Party was resigning. Anyway, listen to the quote here from the new Montana Democrat Party chair, Shannon O'Brien. Quote, this morning, I accepted the resignation of Max Johansson, creating a vacancy on the Montana Democrat Party Executive Board. Mr. Johansson resigned after acknowledging that certain comments he made following the convention, that part's key, were disruptive and inconsistent with the direction of the Executive Board. Notice this very precise statement here from the chair of the Montana Democrat Party. He resigned because of the comments that he made following the convention that were disruptive and inconsistent with the direction of the executive board. His comments after the convention were critical of Liberal Senator John Tester for losing the most important U.S. Senate race in the country to Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy last year. His comments, he wasn't resigning because of the comments that he made before the convention, the comments about throwing the dumb B-word down the several flights of stairs. That's pretty remarkable, isn't it? I mean, my goodness. This is what gets the guy forced to step down from the Montana Democrat Party. Not throwing a woman down several flights of stairs, talking about it anyway. But no, throwing John Tester under the bus. And by the way, why does John Tester even care? John Tester is throwing a major temper tantrum, big-time temper tantrum. This guy is so thin-skinned, he is throwing such a public temper tantrum over the people that were selected to be the leaders of the Montana Democrat Party. It's like the guy is so bitterly, desperately clinging to who is in charge. He's micromanaging the Montana, trying to micromanage the Montana Democrat Party. It's like, dude, you lost the race. You got your MSNBC contributor gig. You're probably getting paid a whole bunch of money from that dark money outfit you're a part of right now. Why do you even care? It's because of ego. It's because of ego. And, oh, he doesn't want the new leaders of the Montana Democratic Party to dare say anything critical about him. He cares more about his own reputation than he does about whether the Democrats win or not.
I'm Chad Bergman with the Speaker's Lobby. There's always a fight over government funding as the fiscal year expires on October 1st. Usually it's a fight between Democrats and Republicans. But this year features a change. Democrats fighting each other and House Democrats tangling with Senate Democrats. House Democrats were virtually united against a Republican spending bill in March. But then Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer relented and helped prevent a shutdown. Democrats are now wanting more fight from Democratic leaders and Chuck Schumer. Quote, he made a calculated risk and it did not turn out well, said New Jersey Democrat Donald Norcross of Schumer. New York Democrat Adriano Espaillat says, quote, the American people have expressed themselves clearly and loudly that they want us to fight back on all levels. And if, in fact, we engage in a shutdown, it would be a Republican shutdown because they're the ones that are making it difficult for anybody to reach an agreement with these egregious cuts. House Democrats also see this month's battleground as dramatically altered compared to March. President Trump is now clawing back money already allocated by Congress. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Plan on flying? It's time to upgrade to a real ID. Because in order to board domestic flights, your driver's license or state-issued ID must be a real ID, or you'll need another acceptable form of identification. So don't wait. Find out how to get your real ID at tsa.gov/real ID. That's tsa.gov/real ID. Or visit your local DMV, and then you'll be cleared for takeoff.
It's time for the Daybreak Ag Report from the Western Ag Network. Good morning, everybody. I'm Russell Nimitz. Well, this morning, we're continuing our coverage from the Public Lands Council's 57th annual meeting here in Flagstaff, Arizona. Arizona Cattle Growers Association President Brian Daganel is chairman of the PLC's grazing committee and says they're very concerned about the ongoing abuse of the 1906 Antiquities Act designating national monuments by presidents of both parties.
We believe that there shouldn't be national monuments the side of Rhode Island. They should be contained to what a specific purpose. Mount Rushmore, Gettysburg, Battlefield, those are great examples. We have places in the West we want to preserve, but they don't need to be 2 million acres.
He says Mexican gray wolves are also a threat to ranchers here in the Southwest, and the data shows it's time to remove federal protection of the apex predator.
We've met the numbers that were originally established in the 90s a long time ago. The goalpost keeps moving. And the other factor is a large piece of the recoverable habitat is in Mexico, where there is no recovery at all. So we're expected to do it all on our side. And I believe the climate is right. We actually may get the Mexican gray wolf delisted.
And, of course, one of the key priorities of the Public Lands Council is to see the Endangered Species Act reformed to better reflect the Act's original intent and not to have it used as a weapon against ranchers. Stay with us. We'll have more Ag News right after this.
Montana harvest season is here, and so is wildfire season. One spark from hot equipment, a bearing, or a piece of metal can ignite a fire that spreads fast. Before you head to the field, check and clean your equipment. Keep a water source and extinguisher close, and avoid operating during the hottest, driest parts of the day. Your simple precautions can prevent a costly wildfire. This message is brought to you by the Montana DNRC, protecting our lands and communities.
Cattle producers, this Friday, September 19th, is Montana Livestock Auction's Cream of the Crop 2 sale, and they're expecting 2,000 head of yearlings and calves off cows. Already on the books, 40 head of mixed yearlings weighing 700 to 800 pounds, 72 head of Black Angus mixed calves with all their shots weighing 4.5 to 500 pounds, and 600 head of black steer calves, all shots weaned coming in at 700 pounds. Sale time is 9 a.m. To check out all the consignments, visit MontanaLivestockAuction.com. Well, this week, during a trade mission to the U.S., representatives from the Taiwan Flour Millers Association and U.S. Wheat Associates signed a letter of intent for the purchase of over 132 million bushels of U.S. wheat between 2026 and 2029. Now, the U.S. is still one of Taiwan's largest sources of agricultural products, supplying more than one-fifth of the country's ag imports. After visiting Washington, D.C., the flour millers on the trade mission will travel to South Dakota, Montana, and Idaho. There, they'll gain a firsthand look at U.S. wheat production and meet the very growers responsible for supplying the high-quality wheat to Taiwan. And finally this morning, Iowa Senators Chuck Grassley and Joni Ernst, along with Wisconsin's Tammy Baldwin, are reintroducing bipartisan legislation, the Fertilizer Research Act, that would require the U.S. Department of Agriculture to conduct a study on competition and trends in the fertilizer market and their subsequent impacts on price. As you might guess, the act is endorsed by organizations that support U.S. farmers. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, Andy and Whitefish trying to get me in trouble, I see here. Andy and Whitefish just sent us a message on the Montana Talks app, and he's like, Aaron, you've been all over Montana lately. What is your favorite town? Somebody asked me that question, too, one time, and it was really hard to answer because we love so many different towns for so many different things. But you know, Andy, you're in Whitefish, man. I've always loved Whitefish. I've always loved Whitefish. I know there's some crazy wacko leftists out there protesting the Border Patrol. There were some that got arrested earlier this week for getting out of line. But I'll tell you what, there are still so many incredible patriotic Americans in Whitefish. And, you know, you've got the lake right there for the summertime, and then you've got the ski hill there for the wintertime. Oh, man. But, and you know, and my great-grandpa and my grandpa and my dad actually all pretty much lived and grew up in Whitefish. You know, my dad's side of the family, their homestead was in Nirata, which is, you know, of course, south of Whitefish, you know, down basically really close to Flathead Lake. And so, but yeah, my great-grandpa was a railroader back in the day. My grandpa then became a chief in the Navy, World War II, and then when he retired from the Navy, I think he worked for the Flathead County Road Department. And then, of course, my dad was a bartender at the Beer Stew, then worked for the beer distributor. I say he worked for the beer distributor. I don't know. Steve Williamson was telling me about when those guys would drive the beer trucks back in the day, and sounded like Steve Williamson would end up doing all the work, and then my dad would end up joking around with the bartenders and singing songs on the top of the bar or something while Steve Williamson did all the work. Steve's a great guy, by the way, lives up there in Shelby. But, yeah, so, man, definitely love Whitefish. And it was kind of funny, too, because I would, you know, I would go back and forth between Glasgow and the Flathead, and it was like, you know, I'd be in Glasgow in the winter, and then in the Flathead and in the summer and at Christmases and things like that, too. But it's like, you know, then you'd miss some of the best times of the year in Fort Peck and Glasgow out there on Fort Peck Lake. It's like the High Line finally thawed out, and some of the best times, you know, in Fort Peck are in the summer. And I wasn't there for most of that, but still got to get a little bit of time in towards the end of the season down there at the Dredge Cuts. But anyway, Andy in Whitefish, so throws out a good question for you guys. What is your favorite Montana town? Send us a message on the Montana Talks app, or what the heck, you could even call in, because, of course, we've got the phone lines open for you. 406-294-0970. Yesterday, later in the morning, we ended up getting a phone call from Capitol Hill. Navy SEAL veteran and U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy called in from Capitol Hill later on in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. I asked him about the leadership elections for the Montana Democrat Party. And, of course, all this came before the news came out that the newly elected vice chair has now stepped down and resigned. But we talked about that and more with Navy SEAL veteran and U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy. So we'll get to some of that audio here, share some of the highlights for you early risers here in just a few minutes. Back in 60 seconds right after this Fox News update. Yeah, great comments there by Vice President J.D. Vance. He did, what was it, like a 20-minute interview, I think, last night on Fox News. We've got some of the highlights that we can get to for you here this morning as well. But the one you just heard was he was talking about the assassination of America's friend and American patriot, Charlie Kirk. Tim Sheehy, you remember, it was last year, Charlie Kirk did an event with Tim Sheehy on the University of Montana campus. And so Tim Sheehy got to know Charlie Kirk pretty closely as well here. And, you know, as I kicked off the conversation with Senator Sheehy yesterday, of course, it was the first time I've gotten a chance to talk to the senator following this horrific assassination of this great American patriot, Charlie Kirk.
As you know, as a combat veteran, you know, we both are, it's really hard to see somebody you've known personally, you know, get pulled, you know, right in front of you. And obviously I wasn't there with Charlie, but we all saw the videos. This is probably the most televised killing of anybody we've ever seen in history. I think it's a watershed moment where it's really hard to see somebody you've known personally, you've broke bread with and been in a personal relationship with get killed. And we've seen it on the battlefield, but it's different when it's right here at home. And what I wrote about was, you know, every year for the last 24 years, we've had, you know, 9/11 is a day where normally the country sets aside its partisanship for a bit, and we recognize that we, as Americans, were attacked. We weren't attacked as Democrats, Republicans, liberals, conservatives, socialists, whatever, white, black, Asian. We were attacked as Americans, and those planes and those towers coming down didn't care who was in there. They were attacking our nation, and I think every year we kind of remember that for a day. And this year it definitely hit differently because we were reminded that, you know, in place of unity was a terrible, terrible divisive act that, as we know, was unfortunately echoed with so much Republican rhetoric afterwards, that it was really sad to see. But I also think that this might be a watershed moment. It might be, you know, like RFK when he was assassinated, like MLK, like JFK in the 60s, that people are realizing we can't continue down this path, that violence isn't the answer no matter what your issue is. the American Republic was built to solve our problems without resorting to violence. And I'm hoping that as we push through the pain of this experience, we come out the other side and recognize that we can disagree on a lot, but I do think we agree on much more. And it's about time we start to figure out how to disagree better.
Yeah, I mean, you just had Charlie Kirk with you on the University of Montana campus about 1 year ago. He was there doing events with you. I got a great message from Pat in Big Timber last night or earlier this morning, and he basically talked about how, you know, there's Bible verses and Bible stories about this as well, about how sometimes you can be more powerful in death than even in life.
And all right, more to follow with Senator Tim Sheehy. A couple more highlights for you coming up here right after this break. And then, of course, we got phone lines open for you as well, 406-294-0970. Or you can send us a message on the Montana Talks app. We talked about some of what's going on Capitol Hill as well.
Co-op for over 20.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Mom, is this how you feed a hamster?
I think so.
Is my homework right?
I think so.
Is this milk still good?
I think so.
When it comes to parenting, sometimes it's okay to think you know. But when it's something as important as your child's car seat, don't just think. Know. Double check if your child is in the right seat for their age and size. It'll help protect them in a car crash. Don't just think. Know by visiting nhtsa.gov/the right seat. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so as we're heading into that last break, when I was talking with Senator Tim Sheehy, I shared this message. A great, great email. I think I shared this early in the 6 o'clock hour yesterday as well. Great email from Pat in Big Timber, talking about how, you know, there's biblical stories and Bible verses about how sometimes you can be even more powerful in death than you were in life. And we certainly hope that is the case here with America's friend and this American patriot, Charlie Kirk. And especially, I really think, you know, a few months ago, I had the honor of speaking in Glendive at the Dawson County Lincoln Reagan Dinner. And I was talking about America's 250th birthday coming up next year. And will we continue to be a free republic for another 250 years. And I shared my optimistic belief that, yes, we will, because I'm so optimistic about this younger generation now. And I actually quoted Charlie Kirk during that talk. And I've got to speak again this Sunday. I get the honor of speaking this Sunday for the Lake County Lincoln Reagan Dinner as well. And basically, what was I really talking about? I didn't call it that during that speech in Glendive earlier this year, but really what I was talking about was a turning point. America is at a turning point right now, and there was a large swath of Generation Z that wants to turn down the path of socialism, that despises what this country is all about and the freedoms that this country was founded on. And then Charlie Kirk and other great American patriots are leading Gen Z, and I hope a majority of Gen Z, down another path to keep America on the path of being a free republic for another 250 years. And anyway, so Senator Sheehy and I were talking about that. If you go back, listen to the full audio and more. But before we talk about kind of some of the news on Capitol Hill, I had to get Senator Sheehy's take on the Montana Democrat Party. You know, they've got a party chair now, just elected last weekend. She lost her statewide race by 20 points. And then her vice chair was this guy talking about throwing Marjorie Taylor Greene, calling her a dumb B word.
and talking about throwing her down a flight of stairs. And so just basically just the Democrat Party is doubling down on crazy. And anyway, here's what Senator Sheehy had to say about the current state of the Montana Democrat Party, not just the National Democrat Party, but the Montana Democrat Party as well.
Well, it's pretty sad, to be honest with you. I mean, our republic, as you said, you know, it was built on the concept of disagreement. And we need two healthy parties having a healthy exchange to create the best outcomes for Americans. And you know, obviously, I'm a Republican. I want our party to be victorious. But at the same time, you know, we do need two healthy parties representing both sides now in America. And unfortunately, the Democrat Party right now is a party of criminals. It's a party of they're more worried about Venezuelan drug dealers being killed by this administration than they are about crime in our streets when American citizens are being murdered. They literally take the side of drug dealers over our own citizens. You know, they take the side of criminals in the street over our policemen who are trying to make our streets safe for our families. So their party truly has lost its way. And I think what we heard in Livingston from them was pretty remarkable in that they said, we can't shy away from socialism. We need to let it in. Even John Tester, my opponent, dialed in and said, hey, guys, this election was a lesson for us. We need to return to kitchen table issues. We need to focus on costs. We need to focus on housing and common sense issues. Of course, they said, you know, no, John, you're wrong. We need to go further left. We need to embrace direct handouts. We need to embrace socialism, because what was really going to win elections in Montana is if we go further to the left. And, you know, listen, if that's their plan, then, you know, more power to them, because we're just going to keep winning by bigger and bigger margins, because they've gotten a drumming the last 10 years across the state. We've won everything. We've swept them from every seat in the state. And now they think their answer is to go further left. So I think they're in for another few years of big losses here if they don't finally reorient themselves to reality.
Well, I'll tell you what, if this woke white liberal guy from Livingston, who's the vice chair of the Dems, tried to throw Stacey Zinn, the vice chair of the Montana GOP, down a flight of stairs, he'd have another thing coming. She's quite the bad mamma jamma.
Yeah, I think I know, he better put his jockstrap on before he does that. Think of that.
Yeah, that part was hilarious. He better put on his jockstrap for that. She would kick his, you know what, you heard it. All right, full audio with Senator Sheehy on the Montana Talks app, or you can find the podcast, all 4 hours of the show, on Spotify as well. Let's see, let's get into the phone lines here. Got a great email from Cameron in Butte, and looks like Cameron Moylan in Butte is now with us on the phone lines as well, listening to KXTL. Cameron, thanks for calling in. What's going on this morning?
Yes, good morning, Aaron. Two things. My first item is I just wanted to, I was reminded by some of the news this morning of one of an underrated element of what Charlie Kirk was helping to get the word out on, and that was just the risk of, just the true ramifications of these horrible financial decisions being made, mostly in the government, that are that are essentially selling our kids and grandkids generations into slavery, and how that really dooms any effort to do anything else, and that's such an important element. I see, you know, these things like up in Helena, where the school board up there is pushing to blatantly waste $283 million to destroy perfectly good buildings and build new buildings when refurbishing the existing ones would be a small fraction. I mean, $283 million. That adds up so fast. There's similar stories with Dwyer School and with the old post hospital in Missoula, where public monies are at risk of being spent to just destroy assets. And
when enrollment is declining, in Helena too. On top of that, right? Yeah. No, you've for those who haven't heard Cameron before, I remember meeting him in Butte several years ago at the McDonald's when we did a live show, and he talked about this concept of, well, a couple of different concepts, but this was another one that we followed up on, where it, like, hey, why are we destroying some of these historic buildings when we could just refurbish them, and we're spending a lot more money tearing them down and building new ones. You know, something you said, too, also reminded me, Matt Walsh at thedailywire.com has a piece out this morning where he mentioned one of the most important points that Charlie Kirk made was calling out BlackRock and some of these other outfits that are buying up so much of the housing across America and taking away opportunities from young people to get into affordable housing. So I thought that was kind of interesting and ties in kind of with what you're talking about with some of the powers that be out there, shall we say. But speaking of Charlie Kirk, later today I'll be at a Charlie Kirk Celebration of Life in Kalispell that's taking place at Sykes Diner. I understand there's one being planned for Butte tonight as well.
Correct. Yes, that's the other important thing I wanted to get out, is that there will be a Charlie Kirk prayer vigil at Emma Park in Butte today from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. And so just putting the word out on that for anybody who wants to come.
All right. Yeah, say the details again one more time for everybody in the Butte Anaconda area.
It'll be 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. at Emma Park in Uptown Butte. And basically, it'll just be, you know, anybody who wants to come and pray for the country, pray for this, you know, pray for Charlie and his family, and basically what we're going through. I mean, this incident is unusual in so many incidences, the waters are muddied by uncertainties or you know, other questions about. This is different because it's the clarity of it is really unprecedented, and just the widespread knowledge of it's just so obviously good versus evil. Nobody with a conscience could say what happened to Charlie Kirk. You know, I mean, nobody with a conscience could praise what happened to Charlie Kirk. He was such an obviously good guy,
good and decent human being.
Yes, and it was so public. He was so publicly good. I mean, for the last 10 years, his whole life was well known. I mean, there was no scandal. There was no, you know, it was just unusual in that he was so blameless, and everybody sees it to an unprecedented level.
Which is what drew out the evil in the other side even more so. They hated him more so because of his goodness, and that's why you're exactly right. Yeah, that's why you're right. This is a battle of good versus evil. All right. Well, great to hear there's a celebration of life in Butte later tonight as well. Hopefully you're spreading the word to the young people on the Montana Tech campus as well, because I know many of them would want to be there for that as well. Cameron, great to hear from you as always. We'll get to the next caller coming up right after this.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
But the things in my life that my parents gave me, that foundational faith that has sustained me, and I would argue when people ask me, you know, well, how have you been able to achieve something that a lot of people in this business don't achieve? And that's longevity. I would say, number one, it's definitely the work ethic of my parents. Number two, a finely tuned conscience that I developed from a very young age, thanks to them and their sacrifice. And then my own natural pursuit of a spiritual life. Human beings are mind, body, and spirit. And that belief in God is foundational to how you live your life, and that keeps you out of trouble.
Check out the Sean Hannity Radio Show later today, right here.
When was the last time you bragged about your wireless company? Like, did you know my wireless company gave away 1,000 American flags to deserving veterans and forgave $10 million in veterans' debt? Did you know that my wireless company raised almost $500,000 to prevent vet suicide? In other words, when your wireless company is Pure Talk, there's a whole lot to brag about. You can even brag about the coverage you get with Pure Talk. They use the same 5G network, the same cell towers as all the big carriers. And guess what? The average family saves over $1,000 a year. You can get unlimited talk and text, plenty of data, $25 a month. That's saving everybody a fortune. Make the switch. It's simple, fast, easy. Just dial pound 250, say the keyword, save now, Do it now. You save an additional 50% off your first month. That's #250. Keyword, save now, from our friends at Pure Talk.
Here's a look at your Montana weather. For Billings and Bozeman, with sunny to partly cloudy conditions across the area for today, high temperature readings will stay into the upper 70s. For tonight, with clear skies, overnight lows in the upper 40s to around 50. And then for Friday, back into more sunshine, with highs in the upper 70s to around 80 degrees. With clear skies Friday night, a low around 50 is expected. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frobley.
Look, guys, this is a huge story. A while back, I saw a headline about how Bill Gates is pulling $450 million back from Arabella Advisors. Who is Arabella Advisors, and what does this mean for Montana? I'll tell you what, this is huge news, because Arabella Advisors is the dark money network that funds all these Democrat Party front groups, all these environmental extremist groups here in Montana, and more. Check out that story, MontanaTalks.com.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, jumping right back into it. I think we'll have our friend David Noble with us coming up in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. But we've got the phone lines open for you right now. In fact, heck, even when David's on, he loves taking your phone calls. I love taking your phone calls, so you can keep them coming for the 7 o'clock hour of the show. Back into the phone lines we go. We've got Tom in Billings next up on the phone lines. Tom, what's going on? Thanks for the call.
Well, good morning, Aaron.
Morning.
I want to publicly apologize to you. I sent you an email last week. We corresponded one email. I made a comment right after Charlie Kirk, and it was uncalled for. I want to greatly apologize to you for being that way. I was upset. I met Charlie Kirk when I lived in Glendale, Arizona, 10 years ago. I'm an ordained minister. I'm a sinner. I get it. I made some comments to you that you didn't understand, probably. You're like, where are they coming from? They come out of right field. I just want to apologize for that.
Yeah, you're too kind. Well, you're too kind. I appreciate it. Yeah, when I got your email last week, I was like, what is this about? And we're all sinners, and we've all said I'm sorry at some point, and if we haven't, well, then you need to search your soul to figure out what you need to say sorry for, because we've all, yeah, I've apologized on the air to folks. Hey, I misheard what you said, or oh, I thought you were saying this, or you were saying that. And that's why I love having the podcast, because you can go back and listen to the show and be like, oh, wait, I see what that person was saying, or I see what he was saying. So.
Well, and the other thing I got to say is that, you know what, it's not against left and right, it's good against evil, and you're a good person. Charlie Kirk was an amazing person. I met him personally, and he changed my life. I'm an ordained minister. I'm a sinner, just like everybody else. And the left, the right's not killing people, unfortunately.
Yeah, all sides have their wackos. All sides have their wackos, but we are seeing it very clearly that the overwhelming amount of violence and celebration of violence is coming from the left. And shockingly, even amongst Generation Z, 40% of Gen Z, according to a number that I just saw, thinks that political violence is okay, is justified. And Tom, too, I think, look, you mentioned it, Charlie Kirk. I actually mentioned this. So after the show last Thursday, I spoke at the 9/11 ceremony at the state capitol. And the focus of my talk was about how the best of us will sometimes fall, but then the rest of us need to stand up. And I said in my prepared remarks that I'd already prepared, I said, look, when it comes to commentary and broadcasting, Charlie Kirk was the best of us. and the best of us and the best of us fell the day before 9/11. And I think you can't really say that the shooter timed it to be right before 9/11, but I just think that just like on 9/11 when freedom itself was attacked, when Charlie Kirk was attacked on 9/10, freedom itself was attacked because he was such a champion for our values of freedom.
Yes, sir.
Well, Tom, thanks for calling in. No, I appreciate the follow-up. Yeah, because when I got your email, I was like, what is this about? So, but I appreciate you following up and calling in. And, yeah, because I've had that happen before where somebody thought I said something on the radio, and then I'm like, hey, go back, listen to the audio. I don't know what secondhand information you got, but go back and listen to the audio. Whoever told you I said blank needs to go back and listen to it. So, anyway, appreciate the follow-up here. Big Jim in Illinois. I know he spends some time in Bozeman as well. Big Jim, if you can, stick with us. We'll get to you coming up in the next hour of this show. I know there's a little bit of a time delay on the app, so we'll get to you next hour.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful. It's the least that you can do.
Don't play with matches. Don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.